We're not interested in selling a toy that's going to be gifted for Christmas and then 2 hours later it's going to be chucked in the toy box, probably broken because the quality is poor, and then it's going to end up in the landfill. Like, that's not what we do.
It's the E-commerce Master Plan podcast, here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. It's awesome to have you tuning in and joining us. So thank you for hitting the play button today. This is one of those very cool episodes where I get to interview one of you. Yes, one of our listeners. In fact, Laura describes herself as an avid listener. Thank you, Laura. So if you're a listener and want to come on the show too, I would love to hear from you. Just fill out our guest application form at ecmp.info/guest. Now, in today's episode, I'm chatting with the founder of two brands, actually. She sells both nappies and toys online, and her businesses are strictly buy product from other brands and manufacturers and sell them on their websites. They're not product creation, they are a reseller. So we talk about that. We talk about why they're keeping their warehouse in-house, despite the fact they have a lot of products going out the door every week. We're talking about how she's been challenging her supply chain to become more sustainable. We've got some wicked, brilliant marketing tips coming up. And plenty more for you to get your ears wrapped around. So please make sure you listen to the end of the episode so you don't miss out on my guest's top tips, which, as you'll know, are frequently described as the best bit of the show, and my own take on this episode. Have you yet downloaded our ebook? To celebrate reaching episode 500, we've created an epic e-commerce success-focused ebook for you, packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable, featuring the advice of many, many past guests alongside industry experts and many of you as well, our listeners. I've checked every single tip and organize the whole thing into sections for you, making it super easy to dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need it. This ebook needs to be sat on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at ecmp.info/ebook. Get 2024's most valuable e-commerce ebook now, ecmp.info/ebook. And now to introduce today's special guest. Laura Davies is the founder of The Kid Collective, a UK-based toy and sustainable parenting online store built on Bluepark. Founded in 2008, they now process 2,000 to 4,000 orders a month. Hello, Laura.
Hello, Chloe.
Lovely to have you here. How did you get into e-commerce all those years ago?
Well, I kind of fell into it. So I had a child and I was using reusable nappies with her, and I just absolutely fell in love with them. I've always been sort of sustainably minded anyway, and if I can, I will always make an effort to make sustainable choices. So it was a natural choice for me. And from that, I just felt a desire to try and sell them. So I went online. I mean, this was back in 2008, so it was all about business forums and learning, you know, what was going on and how to sell online, basically. And I set up an online store. And here we are nearly 15 years later. We have two primary websites. And yeah, it's been a bit of a journey. it has been a journey. So we've got the reusable nappy store that we still operate, which is the Nappy Gories. And then 4 years ago, we launched a sub-brand, which is the Kid Collective, to enable us to expand our portfolio into toys based around sustainability and making conscious choices.
I mean, congratulations on being one of the many people on maternity leave who get bored and think they can start an e-commerce store. It's a sector. Congrats on being one of those who survived. And on starting back in 2008 with a business that had an interest in sustainability, because it doesn't feel that long ago, but in the sustainability stakes, it was a whole world away, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really, really was. And actually, our sort of messaging at that time was all around community. So I was actually living in the US when my daughter was born, and I kind of got into the cloth diaper community there. And then when I moved back to the UK, it was like, oh, okay, it's not really here. I'm going to bring it here. And so our messaging was all about making reusable nappies a fun and practical option. And this sort of sustainability angle was, I guess, kind of secondary then. And yeah, it's just evolved from then, I would say.
Yeah, it's interesting how the core messaging around a product can evolve over time based on how consumers' needs change. They still need the product, but the whys and the wherefores and the customer sectors adapt. Have you changed the marketing much on the diaper brand over the years?
We're a reseller of other brands across the whole business. We don't have our own product brand. That's absolutely evolved and changed. You know, there's been a lot of different new brands enter the market, and so, you know, we've adapted with them and how the market is. And I mean, from the reusable nappy side of things, so when we launched, you know, we were in the midst of sort of the recession period of then, so, you know, money saving has always been a really strong angle for us. Actually, sort of last year has been the most challenging in that regard because of the energy prices, which has obviously had a big impact on people's perceptions of sustainability and reusing products because they don't really want to be washing them. So that's been interesting, and that's something that we haven't faced before. So yeah, again, it's always just about evolving to the market conditions and thinking what messaging you need to lead with at any particular time based on what the consumer's need and what they're looking for. So yeah, that's definitely something that we've learned over the years.
And you took that decision a couple of years ago to still be selling to the same customer base, I would guess, but to go from the fairly simple product of nappies, cloth, to the very difficult or the much more varied product set, let's say, of children's toys. So what led you to decide to expand, to run two businesses, essentially, which is more than double the workload, I often think.
Absolutely. Yeah, so obviously the market that we were in was very niche, and we were very strong in that market. So we had developed a really core customer base that was really well connected with us. You know, they were very loyal to us, and you know, we had a really strong community. So I wanted to look at how we could enter a more mainstream, broader market, but obviously utilizing that customer base that we already had. So we were in a good position to do that. But I mean, the Kid Collective itself has, I mean, it's only 4 years old, and it's had three rebrands in that time. That in itself has been a journey, but I feel like sort of, so we rebranded it for the last time last September, and we've gone really strong with our messaging, and we've really honed down what we're doing and how we're doing it. So I think when we initially launched it, we were just sort of testing the market. Obviously it is a much more competitive and a much broader market space, so we were kind of dabbling and testing what worked for us. And so over the years we've drawn on that leading up to the position where, like I said, last year we were able to rebrand and go really strong, and already that's proven to be really successful for us, and it's given us such a strong foundation on which to grow. So yeah, we're really excited about it.
And I guess in the toy space, the beginning of the differentiation has to come from the product. So can you tell us a little bit about the types of products you're selling and what makes them different from other kids' toy brands?
Absolutely. So we are quite selective over the toys that we stock. We'll always look at credentials in terms of sustainability and manufacturing. But we also look at what value do these toys add to the child. You know, we're not interested in selling a toy that's going to be gifted for Christmas and then 2 hours later it's going to be chucked in the toy box, probably broken because the quality is poor, and then it's going to end up in the landfill. Like, that's not what we do. So we do really carefully curate our collection, really, and we work with a lot of lesser known brands, but we're sort of starting to integrate some more mainstream brands, but still carefully selected, just so that we can draw in that more mainstream audience into our offerings, and then hopefully encourage them to shop our other collections. So when we did the rebrand, we've done it around the ethos that play matters and the educational play is important, but in lots of different ways. So, you know, we cover off things like sensory play, the benefits of role play, and we sell a lot of wooden toys, and we try to keep plastic to a minimum. You know, we also work with our suppliers. So, you know, we have some suppliers across the business that typically would produce the products and have them in like a plastic outer covering that, you know, we get in from the factory and that's how it arrives. And we've said, we don't want this plastic. Like, either we're just going to take it off before we send it to the customer, or the customer's going to take it off and it's going to be in the bin. Like, let's just skip that. We don't need it. We don't want it. So we'll have our orders custom made without that plastic outer wrap. We do our best to make what's typically a not terribly sustainable product range as sustainable and value-led as we can, really. And we look for toys that are built to last.
I love that you are looking at it from all directions. And I can tell it's going to be a bit like an expanding balloon. You're going to push those directions step by step, season by season as it goes on. But I wanted to ask, both your websites, both your businesses are selling other people's products rather than manufacturing your own, which is an oddity these days in e-commerce. We seem to talk all the time about people who are manufacturing their products. So I guess I'll give you two questions and you can answer as you feel. So the first side of it is, why are you sticking with that model? Because I could ask why you started, but why are you sticking with it? Because you've been doing it for over 10 years now. And then secondly, do you have any intention of ever creating your own products?
It's not something that we haven't discussed over the years. And you know, we have looked at it. But ultimately, we're a reseller. And, you know, we develop the relationships with the brands that we sell. And when we've talked about it before, we just felt that it would be a really challenging position for us to work in, having our own brand, but still maintaining those strong reseller relationships with the brands that we work with. And you're going to want to lead with your own brand. And that's just, it's just not our model. It's just not what we do. And that's certainly been the case in terms of the reusable nappy business. With the toys, it is something that we have talked about more recently. And you know, we do have a member of the team who's been with us for 12 months, who has absolutely the skill sets to be able to do that with us. So it is something that we are looking at on a tentative level for this year, with a view to potentially moving into own brand toys at a later stage. So it is something that we're thinking about, but ultimately, yeah, our model to date has, we're a reseller and that's what we do. But, you know, it absolutely has its challenges. You know, we've got multiple brands to manage, which is, it's a complex model, lots and lots of SKUs. You know, we can't work with a third-party logistics warehouse because we've got that many SKUs and it's so complicated, and we've got a lot of competition. You know we have to spend a lot of money on advertising, and you know, our ad spend is high to bring the customers on board. So yeah, it's definitely not without its challenges, but you know, it's what we're working with at the moment.
I think you're totally right that it is a totally different business model, and as you've just very well outlined, the areas you need to be expertise at are very different. How you approach the business, what the margins look like, the whole structure of the business is very different depending on which you're doing. But I can totally see now you've been able to bring on someone who's got the skill set to develop products for you. And in the toy business, as opposed to the nappy business, there's more scope for, oh, if only that, and there was something between those two things, or if only that toy that we can only get in plastic was available in wood, or if only we could tweak this a bit, there's finally a good reason to make the business more complex.
Absolutely, yeah. We definitely need a good justification for it. Over the years, you know, we've worked with distribution. You know, we've been the exclusive distributor for some brands from the US, Australia. And it, at the time, it seemed like a really logical step, because it was like, okay, yeah, you know, we're already selling these products, so let's be the distributor. You know, we'll get better margins and then we can sell to all our competitors. It would be great. Oh, absolutely. That is a whole different business model in itself, which I came to realize. And it just added such layers of complexity, and you know, you can only spread yourself so thin. And so yeah, when we've tried that previously, we've let that side of the business go, yeah, bring ourselves back to ultimately what we are, which is a B2C product reseller. We're happy like that.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? There is nothing wrong with being happy and making X amount of margin rather than tweaking it to X plus 0.1 and adding a whole load of complexity into the business. But like you've been saying, now you've got the skill set on board and you can see opportunities, that's, you know, you should always be asking yourself these questions, but that's the time to go, actually, maybe it's time we give this a go. And you mentioned there, Laura, that selling kids' toys is a challenging marketplace with loads of competition. So how do you differentiate in order to try and keep those advertising costs as low as possible?
Yeah, it's challenging. As I say, when we did the rebrand, we did a lot of work on our website and we really looked at what aspects are going to be important to the customer when they're landing on our site. And, you know, we do work with a really great conversion rate. And so, you know, on all of our products, we have really clear messaging and we have little icons that demonstrate what benefits that each product provides to the children in terms of play. And we just try to keep our community engaged. So, you know, obviously, yes, we do have to spend money in acquisition, but we work really, really hard to retain those customers. And we do have really, really good customer service. If you look at our reviews, it's all about the customer service. You know, the girls go above and beyond. And, you know, ultimately, it keeps people coming back. So that's the goal at the end of the day.
I always think great customer service is the beginning of the retention program. It's like, you can do all the clever marketing in the world, but if your customer service is bad, right from how you dispatch and the automated stuff that happens in a perfect order through to the bad ones, then you're in a lot of trouble. And you mentioned earlier you're running your own warehousing and fulfillment as well. I'm sure when they were listening to that, a lot of 3PLs would be going, we can help, oh, I must message her. I'm sure you're going to get messages from 3PLs going, doesn't matter how complex, we can do it. But I'm guessing the customer service levels come into that a bit as well when you've got these very diverse products with different setups and so forth.
Absolutely. You know, it is something that I've looked at previously, but ultimately I just feel like the benefits that we get from managing our own logistics outweigh adding that layer of simplicity because, you know, all of our orders go out with a little personal handwritten note. You know, a customer can ring us up and be like, I've just placed my order. Ah, I've put the postcode wrong. We can change it in a flash. You know, we can adapt to the market really, really quickly. We can gather our own social media content. You know, people love seeing what's on the packing bench today and, you know, what's just arrived at the warehouse. Oh, look what we're unpacking. You know, that whole layers of benefits that we get by having our own warehouse, I don't really want to lose that. You know, yes, there are times when I think, especially like peak period last year, we couldn't move in the warehouse. We just had pallet deliveries coming in and we, like, literally most of the office staff were down in the warehouse helping to pack orders because we were so overwhelmed. So there's times like that when you think, I cannot do this anymore. But ultimately, I do think the benefits that we get from it from consumer level are too good to want to let go.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are.
Have you yet downloaded our ebook? To celebrate reaching episode 500, we've created an epic e-commerce success-focused ebook for you, packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable, featuring the advice of many, many past guests alongside industry experts and many of you as well, our listeners. I've checked every single tip and organize the whole thing into sections for you, making it super easy to dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need it. This ebook needs to be sat on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at ecmp.info/ebook. Get 2024's most valuable e-commerce ebook now, ecmp.info/ebook. Do you have a problem only an awesome piece of e-commerce tech can solve? Is your e-commerce tech stack not quite fit for purpose anymore? Then you should check out the latest addition to the e-commerce master plan family, e-commerce tech. Yes, we've got a new person in the clan, or a new website rather, in the clan. It's a website where you can explore the latest and best technology on offer. We're going through a hugely changing time in the tech landscape at the moment, and if you want to be bringing the best results you can in your business, then you need to be on top of what's going on in tech. Head to the e-commerce tech website and sign up to our email updates via ecmp.info/tech. That's ecmp.info/tech. So ecmp.info/tech to find out all the best tools for your e-commerce store.
It's time for the top tips round.
Okay, I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas. Not that you haven't given us a whole load of those already, Laura, but it gives us some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. So, Laura, are you ready for the top tips?
I am.
Okay, the book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
Okay, so this is one that I've just recently finished, and it's not something that I would have normally chosen, but it was gifted to me by a friend who runs a book subscription website, and I just really loved it. So it's You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero, and I've read it with taken it with a bit of a pinch of salt, but I just found it really engaging and it was humorous, and I just found the overall messaging to be really powerful. So it's all about, basically about the law of attraction, which doesn't really sit that well with me because I'm far more science led. But I read it with the view that law of attraction works because by thinking that you yourself take actions and you work in a way that's going to lead to those things becoming a truth. So I really enjoyed it. And it made me feel all empowered and, you know, fake it till you make it type thing.
I love the recommendation and I love the caveats you've just strewn around it as you've explained it. I'm gonna mention it, but it wasn't my choice and it wasn't this, so I'm just loving that. But sometimes we do have to put us, it's good to read a book that you wouldn't choose, because if you're always reading the same stuff, you just don't learn the lesson. So I love that one, Laura, and the way you presented it. The traffic top tip. Which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
So I've had a good think about this, and actually I think what I'm going to say is digital PR. So we've worked with a fantastic PR company for a few years, and they have really, really helped us with our SEO and really improving our organic traffic. So in terms of reducing our acquisition costs, that's really, really helpful. And yeah, I just really enjoyed working with them, and I just feel like it's so powerful of what it can do in improving your website's organic reach.
Yeah, I think digital PR gets ignored so often, and it can be such a multifaceted benefit, mm-hmm. not just from the SEO, but brand awareness and all the rest of it. Super great tip. Okay, the tool top tip. Maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
Now, I've got a couple here but I know like everybody will say Slack, because I just think, how did we ever live without Slack? But to add something different, I'm going to say Typeform. So it's a survey quiz type application, and it's not the cheapest. So we, you know, we have like the premium package because we use it a lot, and you can create really, really complex logic systems, and it all integrates into Klaviyo to helping you build out your customer segments. And yeah, we use it for like some big campaigns multiple times a year, and the data that we get from that is invaluable. So yeah, Typeform is a great one.
Nice, liking that tip. Okay, the growth top tip. If you met someone today who's focused on growing their e-commerce business from 100 orders per month to 1,000, what would be your number one tip for them?
I would say to have some funds to put behind Google paid advertising, but alongside that, have a strategy for customer retention. So you don't just want to be aimlessly throwing your money at Google, you need to have a plan for what you're going to do with those customers once you've got them. So as I mentioned, we use Klaviyo, which is an awesome tool. Yeah, it really helps us to speak to our customers through segmentation and keep them connected. So yeah, that would be my growth top tip.
An excellent growth top tip. Pay for some traffic, but keep it, everybody. Keep that traffic. Laura, thank you so much for coming on the show. Before you say goodbye, could you please let the listeners know where they can find you and your businesses?
Absolutely. So we're online at thekidcollective.co.uk. You can find us on Instagram at the.kid.collective and on TikTok and Facebook at with just The Kid Collective.
And do you want to give a shout out to the nappy brand as well?
Oh, yes, of course. Thank you. So we're also at thenappygurus.com. And yeah, you'll find us on all the socials as The Nappy Gurus.
Excellent. Well, Laura, like I said, thank you so much for coming on and being so open, sharing what's going on with your business and what you're up to and some of those decision-making processes. It's been real pleasure chatting with you. So thanks for being here.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me, Chloe.
How lovely to chat with Laura there. And that's one of the reasons I love getting you listeners onto this podcast, because you know what to bring, you know what you're looking for. So many takeaways there. A couple of quick ones before I go into the bigger picture stuff. The digital PR agency she was raving about in the traffic top tip are called Wild PR, based in Huddersfield in the UK. So if you're trying to fill that gap at the moment, sounds like they're probably worth a chat to. And her growth top tip was around spending money on Google ads. Over on our sister podcast, Keep Optimizing, we've just done, or in January rather, we put out a whole month going into all those many, many changes going on in Google ads with the latest advice on Google shopping, latest advice on Google keywords or search ads, the latest bidding strategies, what to do with YouTube ads, some amazing experts sharing so much in those episodes. It was really, really popular. So if you're wanting to improve your Google ads, definitely go and listen to those. That's on our sister podcast, Keep Optimizing. Now, key takeaways, so much in there. I guess for me, it's sticking to your business model. In Laura's case, buying products from other brands and selling them on the website. Sticking to that business model, but regularly questioning, should we diversify our business model? Should we start creating our own products? Should we start doing something different? But being really, really, really clear at which point you say yes to that, because it's a huge amount of additional work, just like when they created that additional brand, the toy brand, rather than just the nappy brand. Secondly, I love the way that even though they're not creating the products, they're trying to find the sustainable options, making the packaging more sustainable, working with their suppliers to make things more sustainable, ferreting out the brands and the toys, which are both made in the best way, but also are going to have that longevity, you know, be passed down from generation to generation or given to other kids in the family and so on and so forth. So I think that's something which the sustainability piece doesn't have to be changes you make yourself. It can be changes that you're encouraging others to make as well. And then I think there was a really interesting bit where she was talking about, towards the end there, about how and why they're keeping their own warehouse, their own fulfillment center, running it in-house. And I come across a lot of brands who are too scared to let go of it because they're used to having it there. And it is a massive endeavor to move it. And it's more complicated than moving website. But I think the really key stuff she said, and why if I was advising her, I'd say, yeah, keep it in-house, was all those ways in which they are leveraging the fact it's there across their social media, with their community, sharing those stories and using the fact it's right there to generate more sales and to generate that bond with customers by showing them behind the scenes. So really, really good idea. If you're doing your own pick, pack and dispatch, your own fulfillment, make sure you're leveraging that for your social media and your marketing channels. Well, that's a lot of takeaways there for Chloe. But you can get your hands on all the notes from today's show, including the top tips and links to what we mentioned, by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast, or use our special director episode links where you can just put ECMP, short for ecommercemasterplan.info/whatever the number is of the episode, into the URL bar, and you will go straight to the correct page on the website. It's like magic. Now, once you get to the website, Please do add yourself to our email list so you're amongst the first to hear of all the new things I'm sharing to help you improve your business. There are many of them. We have a lot planned for this year. So go get yourself onto our email list because that's the first place most things get mentioned. And if you liked this episode, then do make sure you check out our episodes with Cheeky Wipes and one from a long time ago with Farm Toys Online that you'll find if you scroll back up your feed, you'll find those episodes. Cheeky Wipes is a bit like the nappy brand. They are doing reusable baby wipes, and Farm Toys Online is understandably selling kids' toys online. So scroll back up your feed wherever you're looking or have a look on our website and you will find those interviews too. And thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. I bring you a new interview every week because I want to inspire and help e-commerce business owners like you to succeed and thrive with your businesses, including becoming more sustainable and progressing along that path to carbon net zero. So if you know someone this show can help, please tell them to listen to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. I hope you have an excellent week and do not forget to keep optimizing that marketing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.
It's time to download our 500 top tips to make your e-commerce business more profitable ebook. Go to ecmp.info/ebook now.